So we come to the morning session, the first the message one, which is an exercise spirit. Maybe we can read the heading together. The basic qualification of a man of God. What? One more time. Basic qualification of a man of God, an exercise spirit. Amen. An exercise spirit. So, we want to have the reality of exercise spirit. So you need to pray for me, I need to pray for you. That we will remain in our spirit throughout the whole meeting. You know, the whole heading for the for this college training is what? A man of God. Right, a man of God. You know, the brothers, they have spent time to prepare this wonderful sheet. It's a condensed form of 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy. So the man of God is from the verses in 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy. So maybe you can read those two verses that we will know that whatever we share here is based on God's word. The first part, the first verse is 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11. If you have this sheet, take out this sheet, and you know, when you read a couple of times, you realize you know it already, right? You don't need to go back and prepare because it's already we have a go, we have read them, we have gone over them. Chapter 6, verse 11. But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and meekness. Right. Here, but you refers to Timothy. So Paul was calling Timothy a man of God. That's something tremendous. You know, Brother Simon kind of read the verses yesterday. We read in the Old Testament. There were five persons made it to the list of men of God. Oh no, so many million God's people. Five made it, right? What are the five? Moses, Samuel, Elisha, and also David. Only five. But today I'm standing here looking at the man of God. Amen. And I'm in the midst of the man of God. Amen. And in the New Testament, of course, the sense is different. The sense in the New Testament is that we have partake of God's life. We have partake of God's divine nature. We have believed into him. Have we received the Lord Jesus? Amen. How about all say, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So we all have received the divine life, and this qualifies us to be a man of God. A man of God is one who is one with God in life and nature, but he still partakes God's divine nature, enjoy God's divine nature. Even life, you know, when you receive life, yes, we have received the divine life, but that's not once for all. Because the Lord Jesus himself said, I come that they might have life and may have it more abundantly. Right? So we need to enjoy more life.
Amen.
So we will have the reality as a man of God. So God's desire is to gain a corporate garment. So we are a part of this corporate garment. I think we are very helped last night by our brother sharing. We may lose track, you know, when we share the topic of man of God, that God wants to gain this man of God. And didn't realize that God wants to gain this man of God is for his divine purpose. That in the very beginning, he got a man. This man is for his expression and for his dominion. And God wants to use this man to fulfill his purpose. But this man failed, you know, this man failed. So, but God came to, he himself became a man. Yes. He was the first God man.
Amen.
We are just reproductions of the first God man. And, you know, our brother used the example of the gloves, right? The purpose to make a glove is for the hand to get into the glove. But today, there's a brother here serving on the medical team, EJ. I don't know whether he's here. He told me his name is Eating Jesus. I say, amen. We all need to eat Jesus.
Amen.
You know, he works in the hospital. In the hospital, you have a lot of disposable, you know, gloves. You touch any patients, you have to kind of, you know. God didn't make us disposable. In fact, we are biodegradable. A lot of disposable, you use the foam cups, foam plates, you know. It's not biodegradable. But human beings, you know, we are. The reason I want to mention is, I want to share a little bit concerning the creation of man, because we have a lot of new ones here. When we say exercise our spirit, we may know what it meant. But a lot of new ones, they wonder, what are you talking about, right? You know, coming in on the fly, I met a sister, and I asked him about the spirit. Yeah? She nodded her head. And I said, the three parts of man, and she said, yes, Father, Spirit, and Soul. But no, Father, Son, and the Spirit. That's his concept. But according to the Word, the three parts of man are what's here. So we just want to spend a little time that to touch this matter before we go into an exercise spirit. When God made man, Genesis 2:7, he mentioned, Jehovah God made man out of the dust of the ground. You know, he just used the dirt. He made a man. But we all know, you know, anybody, you use the Play-Doh, you know, you make something. It's there, but it's dead. But after God made man, he breathed into the nostril of this man. And man became a living soul. And from there, we say that man has three parts. Of course, man's body come out of the earth, has the same ingredients of the earth. That we all agree. Then man has a soul. We all know we have mind, emotion, and will. And where the spirit came from, right? People may think spirit is just something abstract. Spirit is a substance, just like human body is a substance. Then what is the spirit? The spirit is the very breath of God. He breathes into man's nostril. Because there's a verse in the Bible, if you can write it down, Job 32, verse 8. It mentioned that there is a spirit in man. And the breath of Almighty gives them understanding. So the spirit, there's a spirit in man, is in opposition to the breath of the Almighty. So the very breath of God breathed into man, caused man to become living, is man's spirit. But man has a spirit. Man is not spirit. God is spirit. Right? There's a verse in John 4:24. The Lord Jesus told the Samaritan woman, God is spirit. But today, we are not spirit. Angels, they are spirits. We are human beings. We are souls. But God's intention is not for us to live after we created, to live our soulish life, human life. God wants us to receive his divine life into us that we may live by the divine life. Okay, but man became fallen. After fallen, man's spirit became dead. So, we still have a spirit, but our spirit is just not functioning. That's why in Ephesians, he mentioned that we were dead in our offenses and sins. you know, most of the Christians, all the unbelievers, they don't believe man has a spirit. They only believe that man has a physical body, visible body, and another visible, invisible part. But they didn't know man has a spirit. Christians, most Christians, they don't know also. They think man has, you know, two parts. Even today, in the West Coast, there's a famous seminary school. They're still teaching it. It's called dichology. Man has two parts. Visible part, invisible part. But according to the Bible, we know 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. He mentioned that, you know, Paul prayed that the God of peace may sanctify us wholly. May our spirit and soul and body be preserved complete. So it's very clear, man has three parts. So we human beings, we have the body, we have the soul, and we have the spirit. Our spirit, because of the fall of Adam, became deadened. All the function. But it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. It's still there. But when we receive the Lord Jesus, the Spirit with the divine life coming into our spirit and enliven us. So our spirit becomes living. And the Spirit also enters into us to be one with our spirit. So today, when we say exercise our spirit, we mean that we need to use our spirit. So the exercise of the spirit means we use our spirit. We all know, you know, well, we every day you walk, you know, later on we have afternoon activities, right? What you do? You use your physical body. And then you go to school. What you do? You exercise your mind. But nobody knows exercise the spirit. That's why this, you know, this message is on an exercise spirit. In fact, the chapter is on 1 Timothy chapter 4. If you follow the sequence, it should be shared later. But for men of God, we need our spirit. If we don't exercise our spirit, we have a name, we are men of God, but we don't have the reality. That's why we need, you know, this man of the spirit is very, very crucial. You know, even the last verse of the 2 Timothys, maybe we can read it. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 22, also mentioned the man of the spirit. Let's read together. The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you. You know, usually the concluding word of any book is very important. It goes back to emphasize the most important point. So concerning the man of God, the most important point is what?
Your spirit.
Our spirit.
Amen.
So we need to exercise our spirit. Don't let our spirit become dormant. You know, that's unbeliever. Unbeliever, they have a spirit, but their spirit is deadened. Their spirit is dormant. But with us, our spirit should be keen. To exercise our spirit, just, you know, maintain the connection with the Lord. No, it doesn't mean you have to, you know, always jump. Always, you know. Inwardly you can call. Inwardly you can remain your contact with the Lord. And that is exercise the spirit. But let me come back. If you read 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, where is exercise the spirit? Anybody read the verse? Exercise the spirit? No, it's not there. Brother Dave, shake his head. Okay, let's read a verse together. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. But the profane and old womanish meats refuse, and exercise yourself unto godliness. 8. The exercise is profitable for a little. Godliness is profitable for all things, having the promise of the present life and of that which is to come. Right. Here he mentioned the exercise unto godliness. But he also mentioned the bodily exercise. The exercise, if you then later on read the online, you mentioned exercise is gymnastics. So exercise. Because at that time, the background is there was a Greek Olympics. Now, a lot of people, they exercise. But the verse, Paul says, bodily exercise profits a little. Present time for your body, physical body. But godliness, when you exercise unto godliness, is profitable not just for present time, even for eternity. Because that's it. Then what kind of exercise is that? Of course, it's not bodily exercise because he used the contrast. Bodily exercise and exercise unto godliness. Is it this exercise of the soul? No. Exercise of the soul. You go to school, you learn knowledge, you come back and we talk. I realize you are very knowledgeable. You subdue me in the field you are in, that you can speak very eloquently. That makes you proud, right? So there's soulish exercise of the mind. So the exercise, if you read the context, you will realize it's exercise of the spirit. And this exercise is unto godliness. And godliness is God-likeness. But it's not just that. Because when Adam was created, Adam was created in God's image and after his likeness. He had God's likeness, but he doesn't have the life of God. He's still not a God-man yet. Amen. So he needs to receive the tree of life. But today, with us, we already received the divine life. We have the divine life within us. We have the spirit in us. And our spirit has been enlightened, has been made alive. Amen. So we need to exercise our spirit. Then we will contact this living God that will express God. The godliness, according to Timothy, the definition is, confessedly, great is the mystery of godliness. Then, after that, it says, he was manifested in the flesh. Maybe we should read that verse together. This is in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. And, confessedly, great is the mystery of godliness. He who was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory. So the godliness is God manifested in the flesh. But if you read the context, this refers to the Lord Jesus, but not only the Lord Jesus. Because at the end of this verse, taken up in glory. The Lord was taken up in glory first, then he was preached and believed. So this verse not only referring to the Lord Jesus, but also referring to the church. So God wants to be manifest in the flesh, and that is godliness. And we need to exercise unto godliness. So when we exercise our spirit, we express the law. Amen. Okay, I'll stop here. Amen. Amen. Okay.
Hallelujah for our spirit. Amen. In this second session in the mornings, we will cover a few things this week. We will cover an exercise spirit. We are covering that right now. Tomorrow we'll touch a good conscience, then a pure heart on Thursday, unfeigned faith on Friday, and a proper humanity. And I'm very encouraged and impressed by this material, these outlines that the brothers have prepared. For us to be men of God, for us to be a man of God, this line on the basic qualifications are critical. They're practical and they're basic. But they're very, very critical. And if you consider your spirit, your conscience, which is one of the functions of your spirit, your heart, a pure heart, that's not your physical blood pumping, physical heart, your psychological heart, and unfeigned faith and a proper humanity, all these things are inward. All these things are central in your being. So this is the first point I want to bring out. To be a man of God and to express God, to live a life of godliness, and we're going to read this footnote in a minute, right? that we have that we would be exercised unto godliness. That is exercised to live a certain kind of life. It has everything to do with the hidden parts, with the inward parts. It's not the outward show. It's not performance. This is the main thing I want to strike this morning, first of all. This is not just doing something in a meeting. The exercise of your spirit must be integrated in, must be the basis of your daily life. It must permeate your daily life. It is not just something you do when you walk in the meeting hall and you start to call on the Lord. It's not just something we do when we want to get up in the morning and have morning revival. Yes, we do. We have to exercise our spirit, but it must be part of our living. It must be the source of our living. It must be the meaning of our daily life, and that is to learn how to exercise your spirit throughout the whole day. Exercise your spirit. And then what happens? Your living is different because the source of your life is your mingled spirit. Because God is dwelling in our spirit, right? So when you touch your spirit, you touch God. You cannot touch your spirit without touching the Lord. Whenever you touch your spirit, you are touching God Himself. And whenever you exercise the spirit, this Christ is making home in your heart. He's growing. He's saturating your being. And something of this Christ, of this God who is living in your spirit, will be lived out. And that is godliness. So if you could open your recovery version with footnotes to 1 Timothy 4:7, I think it's worthwhile to read this footnote 4 on exercise, the word exercise. Amen. So the verse says, "But the profane and old womanish myths refuse, and exercise yourself unto godliness." 7:4. Let's read that together. "As in gymnastics, unto godliness means with a view to godliness. Godliness is Christ live out of us to be the manifestation." Underline that. This is what Timothy was just mentioning about chapter 3, verse 16, right? That God is manifested in the flesh. So here, underline this. Godliness is Christ lived out of us to be the manifestation of God. What is a man of God? He and she, we're not talking about gender here, a man of God is a person who lives out God, who lets Christ live out of us to be the manifestation of God in the flesh. This is something very profound. It's very deep, but it's very real. And it's very necessary, especially in the context of 1 and 2 Timothy, which is talking about the proper church life in God's economy and the degradation of the church and how to overcome and be inoculated against the degradation and to turn the situation around. So this is where we are today. Christianity is in a degraded situation. But we are here to be inoculated, right? Not to fall into that degraded condition, but to be the real men of God. Let's finish the note. Today, this very Christ is the Spirit dwelling in our spirit. Hence, to exercise ourselves unto godliness is to exercise our spirit to live Christ in our daily life. So, here you have, don't be confused by all the letters here right now. Anyway, you have a body, a soul, and a spirit, the three red circles, right? When we believe in the Lord, and as our brother shared last night, believing means what? Receiving. When we believe in the Lord, we receive God into our spirit, right? Now, our human spirit is not alone and not empty. It is now mingled with God. You have a mingled spirit. God is in your spirit, and He wants to live out of you. But to some degree, He's confined there. We have to exercise to get Him out. We have to exercise to contact Him. We have to exercise to let Him spread into all our inward parts. We have to exercise that He could be expressed. because he is expressed through what we think. This is part of our soul, our mind. He is expressed through what we love. That's part of our soul. That's our emotion. He is expressed through what we choose to do. That's our will. He wants to be expressed through our person as men of God. So we need to exercise our spirit to contact him, to enjoy him, to be filled with him, and to let him flow out and to let him live out. This is to exercise unto godliness. Now, there's another verse in the New Testament where Paul talks about exercise. Who knows what that verse is? He gives his testimony, yeah? Do you know? Fan into flame doesn't use the word exercise, but that's a very good verse, and we're going to touch that in a minute. Another verse that has the word, I also. It's because of this, I also exercise myself. Can you finish the verse? Yes, Acts 24, 16. Right, okay, if you know the verse, you can recite it with me. Because of this, I also exercise myself to always have a conscience without offense toward God and toward man. That is Acts chapter 24, verse 16. We'll get into this more tomorrow, so I don't want to spend a lot of time here. But this verse, with the verse in Timothy about exercising ourselves unto godliness, shows us that to exercise our spirit is to exercise our conscience. It's actually to exercise all of these three functions of our spirit: the conscience, the intuition, and fellowship. Now, because of time, we can't give you all the verses, but you can come and talk to any of the serving ones. We can try to help you with these verses. But anyway, our human spirit has these three functions: our conscience, which we're going to cover tomorrow. That condemns us when we're wrong. It justifies us when we are right. That's a very important function. And in the recovery version and in the footnotes in Brother Lee's ministry, you'll see many, many places where it says that the conscience is either, write this down, the leading part of our spirit, or sometimes he says the main part of our spirit. The conscience is critical when we want to talk about the exercise of our spirit. We have to always be exercised to have a good conscience before God and before man. Because when our conscience is not good, when we sin and we don't confess and we don't repent, then there is not much exercise of the spirit except to come and repent and to touch the Lord, because there's some barrier there. So we'll get into that more tomorrow. But we also need to learn how to exercise to fellowship with the Lord. And that comes out in this outline, very much related to prayer. Our spirit has a very precious function. We can contact God. Amen. We can fellowship with God. This is an amazing thing. We can fellowship with God. So for us to exercise our spirit, one of the points here in Romans 2 is to pray at all time in every place. This is a very, very precious practice to exercise our spirit. So in the time with the Lord in the morning, we want to fellowship with the Lord. Actually, our brother helped us this morning. Our goal is to contact God. It's not to memorize our verses or do other things or figure out what we're going to do today. Our goal in our morning revival is to be revived. By what? By contacting God in our spirit. And that is by prayer. Also, the first point, and this is calling on the name of the Lord. When we call, we can touch him in our spirit. That is to contact God, to fellowship with God, and then to pray at all times in every place. How about we come to this outline on page 19, and let's read Romans 2 together. To exercise ourselves unto godliness is to exercise our spirit to live Christ in our daily life. A, to exercise our spirit, we must deal with the parts of our heart surrounding our spirit, our mind, emotion, will, and conscience. So all of these matters of the heart, and we'll cover that later in this week. The heart is composed of the mind, emotion, and will, plus the conscience, these inward parts. If you want to exercise your spirit, you must deal with these parts. You must take care of these parts. And we'll get into that more later this week. And my burden now is on B. Let's read B. We exercise our spirit, enjoying the Lord who is with our spirit, by one, brothers, calling on the name of the Lord. And we have this wonderful verse, chapter 2 Timothy 2:22, which our brother covered a little bit, the burden of that verse last night in Romans 3, flee and pursue, right? We are those who flee youthful lusts, right? And pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who what? Call on the name of the Lord out of a pure heart. Call on the name of the Lord out of a pure heart. And of course, A talks about dealing with our heart. If our heart is not pure, and I think many of us may have experienced this, your heart is not pure, your heart is turned away, you can call on the Lord for 10 minutes and not contact him because your heart isn't in it. There's something else in your heart. And you're just, that's the outward show. That's the outward performance. No, we don't want that. We want to call on the Lord out of a pure heart. When we exercise our spirit by calling on the Lord, we enjoy him.
Amen.
Did you enjoy him this morning by calling?
Amen.
I enjoyed him by calling on the Lord.
Amen.
Forget about everything else. Just, Lord, I need you. Lord, I love you. Just calling on the name of the Lord. Then two, sisters, praying. Amen. Praying. Then 1 Timothy 2:8 says that I would that men would pray in every place, holding up holy hands in every place. That means we should exercise our spirit to pray in every place. That means in calculus class, you can pray. Probably not too loud, but anyway, you can pray.
Amen.
You can still fellowship with the Lord, right? In math class, you can fellowship with the Lord. You can pray. We can pray in every place and at any time. And we should be exercised. You know, even when we talk to one another, we need to exercise our spirit. Probably more about what not to say than what to say. I don't know if you understand me properly. But you know, the verse says, profane old womanish myths refuse. What does that mean? That means don't talk about gossip and crazy things, silly things, right? Refuse those things, but exercise yourself unto godliness. When we're talking to our friends, our classmates, when we're talking to one another, we need to learn to exercise our spirit. Many times, we just are on autopilot. We know what to say. We know what to do. Someone, you see your classmate, and they say, oh, did you see, you know, this new movie? Did you see the Harry Potter movie, you know, and then we just are on autopilot. We just, you know, oh, either you did or you didn't, so, you know, yes or no, or, you know, you're just on autopilot. But we need to learn, if we want to be men of God, to exercise our spirit and to contact the Lord, to have fellowship with the Lord while you're having fellowship with someone else. Learn how to talk to the Lord. So you have this, right, vertical fellowship while you're having this horizontal fellowship. And don't stop this one to have that one. Keep having this one while you're having that one. This is to exercise your spirit in your daily life. Write that down. This is the point. Daily life. Learn to exercise. We don't just exercise in our morning revival or in the meeting. We need to learn to exercise all day long. Saints, if we would just get this little point, it's not a little point, but if we would get this point, this would really change our living. And this would preserve us from a lot of, I have a lot of negative experience on this side of saying things without exercising. And it's done a lot of, it hurts people, it hurts me, it's not being a man of God. But over the years, I begin to learn to practice this and exercise too. And my experience is often it's to exercise not to say much, not to say that much, but when there's an opportunity, then the Lord gives you something to say. Then you have words of grace that build one another up. We're not tearing down with old womanish myths and tales and these kinds of things. We refuse those things. Amen.
Amen.
So we need to pray at every time. In Ephesians 6:18, by means of all prayer and petition. That means any kind of prayer concerning all the saints. Exercise to pray. Exercise to pray. Then three, we'll read it together. Holding a good conscience. I don't think we've mentioned this yet, but in these books, in 1 Timothy, I hope that you would have time sometime today to read this very important footnote at the beginning of 1 Timothy. It's footnote 1-1, and it gives you all these seven main items that or themes that come up throughout these three books of 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus. And, you know, it gives you all the verses of where they're located here. But this matter of a good conscience is a very important theme or burden in these books. And in the outline that we're memorizing, right, it's a very important point in 1 Timothy that we would hold faith and a good conscience for the preserving or for the keeping of the faith, of the things we believe in. So a good conscience is very critical. Tomorrow we'll get more into that. But I want to make this clear. To exercise our spirit is to exercise the three functions of our spirit, of which conscience is the main one, and then fellowship and intuition. Then four, let's read this one together. Fanning into flame the indwelling gift of God. Let's turn to that verse. 1. 2 Timothy 1, verse 6. Amen. Let's read 6 and 7. For which cause I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of cowardice, but of power and of love and of sober-mindedness. I have enjoyed this verse very much, and especially this word, remind you. Some of the new ones among us, maybe this, you haven't heard some of these things, but we want to help you with these matters of the parts of man and of our human spirit. Some of us, if we've heard it before, we need to be reminded. And Paul here in this chapter, he remembers something about the faith that dwelt in Timothy's grandmother and his mother, and then he wants to remind Timothy, it dwells also in you. And then he says, for this cause I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God. That is our mingled spirit. Fan into flame. Now, very simply, it's obvious, probably, but anyway, why does Paul want to remind Timothy? He forgot. And I think we're the same way. You know you have a human spirit. You know you have a mingled spirit. And we know that if we want to live out and be a man of God, we need to use our mingled spirit. But sorry to say, sometimes we forget. So this morning, I'd like to remind you. We need to be reminded to fan our spirit into flame. We need to be reminded to exercise our spirit. And this word, as we read in the footnote, it has to do with gymnastics. It takes some effort. You know, we don't just roll out of bed and exercise or anything. We have to take some effort to exercise our spirit to live out God. Now, the last thing, and then we want to give you some time to overflow, is to come to this last footnote, 2 Timothy 4:22, and read this note together. Amen. 22:1. This book, which gives instructions on how to confront the degradation of the church, strongly stresses our spirit. In the beginning, it emphasizes that a strong, loving, and sound spirit was given to us, a spirit by which we can fan the gift of God into flame and suffer evil with the gospel according to the power of God and the Lord's life-imparting grace. In conclusion, it blesses us by emphasizing the Lord's being with our spirit that we may enjoy Him as grace in order to stand against the downward current of the church's decline and carry out God's economy through His indwelling spirit and equipping word. And then come back to the outline and read C and then 2 under C all together. We have to exercise our spirit in all things in order to have the power of godliness. 2. Well, let's read 1 and 2. In the degradation of the church, the outward form of godliness, but they do not have the power. When we exercise our spirit, what we do is not a mere outward performance or form, but a genuine of the genuine godliness. So we want to end with this point. We're not here for performance. We're here for the genuine godliness with inward power. And that takes a daily exercise. It takes an exercise in all things and at every place in our daily life in order to have the power of godliness. So I'll just leave you with this little testimony. The third function of our spirit, which we don't have time to mention too much, is the intuition, or sometimes we call that the anointing. There are times in your daily life when you have a sense in your spirit to do something or say something or not do something. You have a direct sense from God. That is your intuition. That is your spirit. That is God speaking to you from your spirit. And just a little example, when I was packing to come to the college conference, I had this little feeling in my spirit to pack hangers, clothes hangers. I'm packing all my shirts. And I have, you know, we're here 5 or 6 days, so I have 5 or 6, I don't remember, maybe 5 or 6 shirts. And I just had this feeling, put 5 hangers in there. And I argued with that feeling. What do you mean put 5 hangers in there? I never pack hangers. But I had some feeling to pack hangers. Now, when I got here and I opened that, you know, in the dorm rooms and opened that thing and saw that there were no hangers, don't you know, I realized that was my spirit. That was my spirit in my daily life. Listen, God cares about hangers. It may sound silly, but he cares about things. He touches you in your spirit. And he cares about your classmate, and he may touch you. You need to bring a tract tomorrow and talk to this person about me. He will give you some feeling in your spirit. What is that? That is that's the anointing. That is a direct sense from God, regardless of the environment, that we need to learn to exercise. We need to learn to follow that so that we know the Lord's voice when he speaks to us. Amen? I don't know if you... Thank you.